Our first lesson for today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and the thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come into your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephraim, all those from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he required of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is a shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Today is Epiphany Sunday in the Christian calendar. It is also the start of 6 weeks of messages on the new simplified one-line churchwide objective for, is it 2010, 2010, or Y210? I don't know. But for this year, our new simplified one-line objective for the church is growing deeper to reach wider. Now, everything today is centered on the themes of the journey of the Magi, the discovery of the light of the world in Jesus Christ, joy and gift-giving to Jesus as the light, how it's a natural expression of who we are as made in the image of God to be givers ourselves, and how the gifts we bring to light help us grow deeper and reach wider. It is my hope and prayer today that some part of this message will speak to your heart by God's grace. Today's message is "The Gifts We Bring to Light." It's sort of a play on words for the music concert tonight at 7 o'clock, which I hope you'll return for, and for our gospel reading today of the three Magi who brought gifts to Jesus, the light of the world. You know, the history of gift giving goes way back in more recent times, to the Romans, when around the new year they would give gifts of nature, fruit and grain, to one another. And then in the Middle Ages, the custom was to give gifts to the king. But it was really the Victorians who made gift-giving the warm and gracious expression of charity and a family celebration that we know it to be. I was at a lacrosse fundraiser recently, and I met a couple, it was just before Christmas, who have four grown children now. And we were talking about our preparations for the season, and they said that early on in their marriage, they decided to give each of their children just three gifts for Christmas. Told the children that if it was good enough for baby Jesus, it was good enough for them. And they said, "Pastor, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, two things come to mind." I said, "First of all, that I'm really glad that my parents never heard of that rationale. And secondly, as a parent myself, I'm really disappointed I'm hearing about it now that mine are 16 and 19. There's also a new trend I read about regarding gift giving in our current economy that is encouraging children and others to just keep three gifts and return the rest for cash and invest it. It's sort of Santa's stimulus package for personal wealth in this difficult economic time. But for some reason, a lot of the conversation around this holiday time has been about gift giving, more along the lines of, what'd you get? Did you get some really great stuff? Well, it occurs to me that in light of today's gospel and the season that we're living in and celebrating God's greatest gift in His Son, that the question we ought to be asking is, what did you give this year? Did you give some really great things? See, the Magi have traveled from Jerusalem and made their way to Bethlehem. And under a star resting in the sky after a long journey, they discover Jesus, the Messiah, the light of the world. And it says that when they rested, they were overwhelmed with joy and offered Him gifts. I would say then that giving gifts is a natural expression of who we are as made in the image of God. So let's start with who the Magi are. They are wise men, Easterners, diviners, astrologers. And the joy they felt when the journey led them to the presence of the Messiah confirmed what the prophets had been saying for centuries, and what they had been hearing their whole lives, and what they had discerned in recent times to set them out on a search and discover that what they'd been looking for was right in front of them. They were in the right place, and their next immediate action was to pay homage, to honor, to shower gifts upon the presence of God, this baby, God the giver and given to us in the form of Jesus Christ, that the first natural expression of the Magi is to give gifts. Now, in this book that I'm reading by Miroslav Volf, he says, culturally, we have two kind of unconscious images of God. One, God the negotiator, and God the Santa Claus. One we bargain with, make deals with. The other one to get the things we want and desire. One is hard and unforgiving, so we exchange behavior for goods to our benefit, such as, oh, please, Lord, get me out of this one, please, and I promise I'll go to church. I'll start praying in the morning, and I'll take disciple Bible study, right? The other one is immature. Some of you are laughing a little too hard on that. The other one is an immature image in which we hope to receive gifts just because we are adorable and beloved and, well, simply exist. But Volf's answer is this: the true God gives so we can become joyful givers and not just self-absorbed receivers. That God, the giver, has made us to be givers. Scripture affirms this. The Magi, seeing the Christ child, enter into that very relationship. On entering the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And opening their treasure chest, they offered him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Have you ever had such a moment? When do we give like that? Just joyfully, honorably, generously pouring ourselves out. I hope we do. I hope it's when we delight in someone, like how lovers give to one another. And it doesn't even have to be extravagant. A flower, a hug, a smile, a note tucked into a coat pocket. Voss says, because we've received the greatest gift, the light of the world, love come down, that being made in the image of God, we are gifted to be givers ourselves. Where we accept who Christ is, finally, the one that we've been seeking to save us is here. And we believe and joyfully respond by honoring and giving ourselves. Our Isaiah scripture today in verse 5, we read that we shall see and be radiant. Or our lives will reflect what we have seen and known, and our heart will sing, and people will be attracted to that. And that when we give to others as Christ gave to us, we're being obedient to who we are, as being made in the image of God and reflecting that image to the world. In some of my spiritual guidance and coaching relationships, one of the most attractive things that happens is when someone I'm talking with grows in awareness of who they are, uniquely created and gifted by God. They recognize the presence and person of Jesus Christ and begin to give and pour themselves out to God. There's an ease to how they live and move and have their being, and that one of the best things that can happen for us as God's people, as the community, is to give ourselves to this body of Christ, our spiritual gifts, like in 1 Corinthians 12, which Mandy will be preaching on in 2 weeks. But by today's scripture, I would also say that if you're not there, if you're not aware of what your gifts are, or sure even of God's presence and action in your life, or even ready to believe that God wants what you have to offer, I would say that every gesture of honoring another, every simple act of coming close to another, of paying attention to those who are right in front of us, can be a gift, and therefore an echo, a reflection of God's life in us. Giving gifts is a natural expression of our being made in the image of God. And the gifts we bring to light help us grow deeper in relationship with Christ. As the wise men bow down, they open their treasures and release their gifts. They become detached from the orientation of the guiding of a star in the heavens and the relationship between themselves and the sky, and become oriented toward God, the Christ child. These wise men, who are respected by kings like Herod for what they know, become beginning learners themselves. They grow wise in a way that God then speaks to them in a dream and says, you're not going to be led the same way, you're not going to go back in the same direction, and they head off another way home. Scripture says, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. All this has begun by them opening up, releasing their treasure chests of gold, where they recognize a king, a new kind of king in Jesus, a new authority in their lives. That they offer frankincense for a priest, not one who lives in the sacred, holy, veiled, sequestered temple, but one who's found in an ordinary home among ordinary people. And myrrh, the balm for a prophet's death, in which the hold of death over our lives is broken and soothed. These are gifts of honor and meaning. It would be like us opening up the treasure chest of our lives, giving our material wealth, the things most sacred to us, and the things that we use as replacements to soothe our fear and grief. There's a church in Tyler County, Texas, that is helping people release and let go and live free from some of the things that have been most sacred to them in a difficult time. It's a United Methodist church. And here's what they do. They have an estate sale to help people who are transitioning into assisted living and nursing homes, or the children whose parents have passed on, to deal with their most prized and sacred precious possessions by having them given over to the body of Christ at Wildwood Village Mills United Methodist Church, where they hold an estate sale. And the families feel really good about turning their things over to the church. And the church sells these things and supports 12 charitable organizations in the community and their own ministries to the tune now of over $70,000. It is something that the volunteers from the church appreciate and the community is thankful for. Later in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, God's word tells us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I would say even the things we don't treasure so much about ourselves, our greed, our materialism, our envy, our fears, our doubts, our lust, our addictions. You know, in front of a powerful king like Herod, we would be hesitant to offer any of these things, our riches or our vulnerabilities, to someone who lords over us with power and acts out of fear. But kneeling before a child, before God, love, the one giving himself over to us completely, we can offer ourselves completely without fear, without worry or judgment that our gifts are unacceptable. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in the 12th chapter of Romans that, in fact, that is exactly what we are to do. In the plain words of the message written by Eugene Peterson, it goes like this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Looking in the radiant face of the light of the world, we can open up completely to our deeper, true selves and give over all that we are. The gifts we bring to light help us grow deeper in relationship with Jesus Christ. And the gifts we bring to light are used to reach wider. God's word says, we're the light of the world, that we are a manifestation of God to people outside our religious community. Isaiah says, be a light to the nations. Break down the walls between the things that happen inside here in the church and the things that happen in everyday life. He suggests that reaching people, reaching wider, and restoring them into community are integrally connected. The wise men demonstrate this because they set off in a new direction to encounter new people on their way home than the ones they did on the approach to the manger. Coming close, encountering the light of the world, the presence of God might mean that we strike out in a new direction, head a new way. So arise, shine, your light has come. But not just a light for our own adventure or to light our own way. It's a conscious decision not to go back to old ways, not to go back to old powers over our lives. We decide that once encountering Jesus and giving over the most valuable things to him in honor of our external and internal lives, we become radiant light ourselves and move forward boldly. We are not just the intended recipients of God's gift in Jesus. But we are also the ones through whom the world will receive him. To that end, we become imitators of God. The gift of God comes not just with our own name and address on it, but someone else's also. The author of Ephesians suggests that the ultimate purpose of God is the unification of humanity in a truly multicultural, diverse community where all the distinctions between who's on the inside and who's on the outside have vanished. By Christ, the light of the world, we can take part in that plan. An old Jewish story tells of a rabbi who asks his disciples, how do you know when the night is giving way and the morning light is coming? One of the disciples stood up and said, Teacher, won't we know that the night is fading when through the dim light we can look at an animal and tell whether it is a sheep or a dog? No, the rabbi said. Oh, rabbi, said another, won't we know that the dawn is coming when we can see clearly enough to distinguish a tree, whether it is fig or olive? No, responded the teacher, you'll know that the night has passed when you can look at any man or any woman and see a brother or a sister, until you can see with that light, the night will always be with us. Today, more than ever, we need to see that clearly. We're made in the image of God, who gave us the greatest gift of himself. Made in the image of God, light of the world, we are imitators of God. Arise, shine. Your light has come. We receive the gift of the light of the world, offer ourselves to the world, and reflect the light of the world to reach others in the name of the one who saves us, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.